Produced by Jeffrey Cresselius, Joseph Cottrell and Ken Fuller, this is Yes Music Podcast episode 618, Old ABWH and the New Yes Video.
Hi, this is Tony Kay and you're listening to the Yes Podcast.
Welcome to episode 618 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine, and co-host Mark Anthony Kay will be along in a few minutes' time. You can always get involved with the podcast yourself via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. Mark and I had a fun time this week rewatching the ABWH Brother of Mine video and the new Mirror to the Sky one. Listen out for our thoughts in a few minutes' time and see if you can count how many times I call the song Long Lost Brother of Mine by mistake. Also, do check out the show notes before or during listening to Mark and me banging on, because I've added lots of screenshots from the videos that we refer to in the conversation. You can also watch both videos there as well, without having to do that dreary web-searching thing. Instead, head over to yesmusicpodcast.com. It's just one of the services we offer to listeners. This week on the socials, there was a lot going on. On Facebook, the ever-prolific Doug Curran added the following. The new Mirror to the Sky lyric video that we're going to talk about later. A 7-minute edit of the song. The news that Yes are to launch a limited 2-CD and Blu-ray edition of Mirror to the Sky, which is presumably why we have the video for the title song. Joe Bonamassa is set to release Alive at the Hollywood Bowl with Orchestra, an epic collection of formats and including arrangements by Trevor Rabin, amongst others. The prog magazine Reader's Poll results, including Trevor Rabin's album Rio, Steve Howe, the Yes album, Rick Wakeman, Yes, and more. A happy birthday to Oliver Wakeman. The Roger Dean exhibition, which starts on the 21st of March in London. The glowing prog magazine review of the new Rick Wakeman 4-CD concert set live at the London Palladium 2023. A happy 49th birthday to the Yesterdays album, the first compilation Yes album released this week in 1975. Robert Downey Jr. doing Your Move with John Anderson on backing vocals. From the Futurist album produced by Jonathan Elias, who also produced Union, and Mark Hudson in 2004. The drums were by Greg Bissonette. It's a highly unusual version worth a listen. And notification via YouTube of 3 Yes reissues coming this year for Atlantic's 75th anniversary in May, June and October. That's the Yes album, then 90125, then Close to the Edge. Are they worth getting? I'm not sure yet. But it's being put together with what looks like a great specialist company and the top mastering talent as well, using the original master tapes. They're going to be expensive, though, that's for sure. For his part, Geoffrey Mason added the following, a 1977 record store display stand-up for Yes is Going for the One. It's the equivalent to the one I've got for Tomato. You can imagine what it looks like, possibly not safe for work. A 1972 appreciation of the new band, Yes. A plea to anyone who has the interview article by Bud Scopper with Trevor Rabin and Chris Squire from the September 1987 issue of Guitar World. And in fact, Geoffrey's sourced one of these now. Live posters from 1974, interesting for all concerned with writing a book about Tales from Topographic Oceans, and a Rick Wakeman advert for Goodwin Organs from 1976. Ray Reithmeyer added a video of Darkest Hour, the latest single from the Prog Collective, which is remarkable. And Rasmus Heider shared the Owner of a Lonely Heart video, which isolates the cowbell and shows how it's used like a melody instrument. If you haven't seen that one yet, you need to. Mark Bradford Barber shared 1998 vintage Yes show audio from Manchester, UK. And John Pickles pointed out that Peter Gabriel 2, Daryl Hall's Sacred Songs, and Robert Fripp's Exposure albums were a trilogy. New information to me after last week's episode. The Yes Shift guys talked about birthday boy Oliver Wakeman's playing with the Straubs, and Brian Sullivan found another of those classical musician reaction videos. This time, it's a harpist listening to Close to the Edge for the first time. Hector Salvador Plaza shared a photo of Steve Howe playing live this time, and over on X.com, Yes Family Fan Club Japan shared the news that Rick Wakeman is planning a different kind of Christmas show where he teams up with son Adam. So thank you to everyone who has been in touch in any way this week.
600. Yes. Music. 600. Yes.
Yes Music Podcast. 600 episodes.
We are discussing Long Lost Brother of Mine video. I always call it that. I think it's just called Brother of Mine, isn't it? Anyway.
Yes.
And also the new Yes video, lyric video for Mirror to the Sky. And Mark is with me. Hello, Mark.
Hello there, Kevin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. What about yourself?
As I told you before, we were having some fantastic weather here, but the last 2 days we've had a weather warning. It's gotten so cold here. It was like -8, -16 Celsius with the wind chill. The dog didn't even want to go out. He took like 3 steps forward. He's like, nah. And he turned around and went back in the house. Rather, he would hold his, urination than to go out into that temperature.
Sorry. It's just conjured up all sorts of images in my mind. Which is handy because that's what we're talking about today, is the visual aspect.
Absolutely.
What a great segue. Okay, well, it's nothing like that cold here. It's fairly boring in weather terms at the moment, which is not to be sniffed at, I suppose.
Yes.
Anyway, here we go then. So I'll tell you the reason why Long Lost, God, did it again, why Brother of Mine came into my head this week. And it's because I'm taking my daughter to see a new band tomorrow. We're going to Birmingham to see a band called Fizz, a very unusual band for me to go and see because they are very much modern pop, really. But I think they're a very interesting band. So if anyone wants to check out Fizz, I rather like their album. And my daughter does as well, so we thought we'd go along to that. But one of the things they ask you to do, and I suppose this is in common with lots of bands out there, is that they want you to dress up. And one of the ways in which they want you to dress up is, if you want to use some face paint. And so, of course, the first thing I thought of was the video to Brother of Mine. And, of course, I'll put these two videos in the show notes for this week. So I haven't finally decided whether I'm going to do that yet, but I was thinking perhaps I could do my face up like the members of ABWH in Brother of Mine. Now, you, of course, have lots of experience of dressing up to perform in concerts, do you not, Mark?
Yes, well, in Piledriver, I had to do many a different sort of costumery and fake blood and stuff like that and all kinds of things. So I am aware of the challenges that come with these sort of things. But I'm convinced, though, Kevin, that if you don't find the ABWH makeup to your liking, you can always resort to the Marillion Fish era makeup,
quite,
of course.
Yeah, they're not too dissimilar, actually, come to think of it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we thought we would do that, have a look at Brother of Mine, this fascinating video, and also compare and contrast it with this new Yes video, lyric video that's just come out with a cut-down version of Mirror to the Sky. So if we talk about the ABWH one, first of all, and I'll put all these screenshots. I've sent Mark some screenshots that we can discuss. So I'll put all those in the show notes as well for this week. So you might want to go and listen and look at those at the same time. So both of these songs have been cut down. Brother of Mine is 6 minutes 29 as opposed to 10 minutes and 16 on the album. And I've read that the band weren't particularly happy with it. They never seem to be, do they? I mean, I'm taking ABWH to be pretty much the same as Yes for the purposes of this anyway. So they weren't happy with it. But there was this video made for MTV. And back in the 80s, of course, MTV was huge. Massive links to MTV from Yes because of Jeff Downes being part of the Buggles and the Buggles being the first band to be played on MTV. Right back in, what was that, 81, was it?
Yeah, I believe so.
But this is 89. And at this time, rather unlike they do now, MTV, they were still very much playing pop videos, weren't they, for most of what they did, MTV in 1989, this was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was still high on their list of importance to play videos at this time.
Yeah, so every band had to do videos. The situation has changed dramatically now, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we talk about Mirror to the Sky in a minute. But certainly at this time, you needed to produce something really quite lavish, and if you think back to the Queen videos, for things like I Want to Break Free and Radio Gaga and all those sorts of things around 1984. In those days, you had to put on a lavish production to get your videos noticed, I suppose, and get them onto MTV. And this is certainly what they've done here. Now, the funny thing about this video, though, for Brother of Mine, is it's fascinating, but I don't think it's really been available, apart from if you caught it on MTV and managed to record it. I'm not sure where else it actually turns up. It is now on YouTube, but it hasn't always been there. And I had a look through. I've got a VHS copy of The Big Dream, which is a compilation video of ABWH. And also I've got a copy of An Evening of Yes Music Plus. But this video doesn't turn up on there. Do you remember seeing this at the time, Mark?
I don't remember ever seeing this video. The only time I remember seeing it was when I stumbled across the Big Dream VHS that you talked about when it finally came onto YouTube. Mm. I was looking through and I discovered this. I was like, oh, what's that? Because I'd never seen that documentary before. So no. I checked it out. And then I saw these videos on there. I was like, wow, they even made a video. Like, I was surprised, to be honest, because I didn't think that, you know, people like Bill Bruford or Steve Howe would be so, you know, willing to do videos, especially at this time in their career, right?
Hmm. Yes, indeed. And as we'll find in a minute, I'm not sure Rick Wakeman or Bill Bruford were particularly happy with this. And certainly I don't think Steve Howe was, that's for sure. So anyway, I think it's been out of circulation for quite some time, but it is available on YouTube now. So thinking about it itself, the video itself, it's nice to have the Roger Dean animated graphics at the start. And I'd have to say that the cover of ABWH's album is one of my favourites, Roger Dean. I'm sure we've talked about it before. It's an absolutely beautiful painting with lots of scenery in it, but then also this amazing Dean structure in the middle. It's a block of flats or something, but in a very Dean fashion. And it's one of my favourite of all Dean's covers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic album cover. I mean, when you see it, you immediately think Yes. So, I mean, you couldn't help but, you know, think immediately along those lines musically as well when you go to play it for the first time.
Yeah, and there are very, very few. I think there are some in the recent lyric videos, but over the years there have been very few of Roger Dean's artwork actually used in promotional videos for the band. I mean, his Yes logo, of course, appears all over the place, but actual Dean imagery. And here you've got a tiny little bit of animation with it's an eagle or a vulture. Is it a vulture? That would fit in better, wouldn't it? Because there's side of the single Vultures in the City, which was not put onto the album, but that's, so it's probably a vulture. Somebody will add a comment to the show notes and tell me I'm talking rubbish, but it's a bird anyway. It travels across the screen briefly, very briefly. And then we go on to some absolutely fascinating bits. One of the first images, certainly the first image you see of any band members, is John Anderson. And I'm sure this is a dig at the contractual situation at the time, ABWH not being able to use the name Yes. And he's pictured sitting in the dark, but with three white spotlights picking him out. And these make the pattern of the Y, Y for Yes, a little bit like the front cover of 90125. And I think that's it's an iconic image, isn't it? Once you've seen it, you'll never forget that Y shape.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it was sort of well played in the sense that people who are hardcore Yes fans and followed Yes forever would probably have connected that little image in their mind, but the millions of other people who watched MTV probably had no idea. They just thought it was like a random spotlight shot.
Yes, indeed. But I think it's very good for us Yes fans. And as I say, an iconic image of John sitting in the middle there. And of course it starts with John, as you might imagine. John made sure he was very much there. So that's the kind of studio shot. And then it breaks into what looks like Australia. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not in any sense an expert on Australian landscapes, but it looks like Australia to me, although it could be some part of America. But I can't find any information at all really about this video out there. So if you know whether this is Australia or not, that would be absolutely brilliant if you could leave a message. And what we've got are some acrobats, some actors, and they are meant to make us think, I think, of this concept of the dreaming, which is an Aboriginal concept to do with their mythology and their history and traditions. I'm not sure. I'm pretty unconvinced that the dancers, the actors themselves, are Aboriginal people. If you look at them, they don't look like Aboriginal people to me, but we're getting into realms that I really don't understand myself. So again, if you know if these dancers are actual Australian Aboriginals, then please do let us know again. What they're wearing seems a bit typical of John Anderson, though. I think they seem to be wearing all sorts of different evocative things, and they've got their bodies painted and their faces painted. But it seems a bit of a mix, the sort of general John Anderson mixing of all sorts of traditions and ideas. It doesn't come over as particularly true authentic. To life, authentic Aboriginal, does it?
No, and of course that's John Anderson for you right there in a nutshell. I mean, let's just combine a whole bunch of things that just sound good in his or appear good in his mind. And then, you know, of course, everybody else will think the same way as he does. That's what he thinks, right? You know, like they'll understand that, you know, this cross-culturing that I'm doing here, it'll all make sense in the end. And, yeah. You know, when I watched it, I mean, sure, back when you're younger, you don't probably think, you know, these are, you know, are they proper, you know, Aboriginal people or not? You're just kind of watching the video and probably just enjoying it for what it is. But, you know, looking at it now, clearly I don't think these are Aboriginal. First of all, their skin tone is way too light, I think, to be Aboriginal people. And, you know, I could be wrong about this totally too, but I think that most Aboriginal people would be probably a little bit more unwilling to share their sort of traditional dances for a music video, you know. So this quite is why possibly. I think it kind of reeks of, you know, actors from America being used, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, let's leave that to the side. we know it's not supposed to be proper Aboriginal dances and so on. However, they run through shallow water, they jump, they do acrobatics, they swim, and they all join up together, I suppose, to give the idea of this long-lost brother of mine, particularly when they get to that big chorus, which does make a brief appearance in this cut-down version. And I thought some of the rock formations in the background reminded me a bit of Yes Tour, actually, and the cover of Tormato. But anyway, what was your overall feeling of that part of the video, Mark? Did you enjoy this sort of romantic ideal of people out in the outdoors?
Oh, I always love this kind of scenery stuff. I mean, I'm a big, you know, traveler, person who loves to travel and see new places. So whenever I get to see, you know, scenery like this, it agrees with me totally. I find this part of the video fantastic. I mean, the only part that I found shocking is whenever you had this, you know, sort of fade in of like Bill Bruford with his makeup on his face, like, what's that? You know, all of a sudden, or a fade in of Steve Howe or somebody, you know, like people who you would not expect to see in face paint, you know, showing up. But I mean, for the video, the scenery and the location shots are fantastic.
They are. Yes, and that's the amusing bit, and the bit you definitely can't forget after you've seen this video is those. And they're certainly not smiling in those shots where they've got their faces painted. And I know that's not the whole feel of the... It's not supposed to be an amusing video. Mm. It's supposed to be serious. But they do look a bit cheesed off, frankly, is my take on it. I can't imagine what the meeting was like when, presumably, John had to persuade them to get their faces painted. Mm. Okay, that must have been fun. Anyway, so it then cuts into some miming footage, which I think is absolutely fascinating as well. And it's clearly the setup or part of the setup that they used for the live concerts, amazing and wonderful live concerts that they were, ABH put on, and in some very large venues. And there are some great films from those venues. And the bits that I liked about it were the fact that Bill Bruford has got his whole kit there. So he's got the electronic percussion and he's got that massive setup behind him with all the tam-tams and the gongs and things swinging round behind him, which I understand famously fell down at Madison Square Gardens. The whole thing collapsed in a great, quite a sight and quite a sound. And also, I love the Perspex piano that Rick Wakeman is playing. So that looks to me like it might have been filmed at a rehearsal. Did you get that feeling?
Yeah, it could have been a soundstage, you know what I mean? Like, set up for that sort of thing. But you're right. I mean, the fact that they went out to that extent, like Bill bringing the whole kit and caboodle out there, because usually in these kind of videos, a lot of these bands, let's face it, they get lazy. They come up with like a four-piece drum set and they want you to believe that all the stuff that you're hearing is coming from this little four-piece. Like, come on. But, you know, having all those things, I think it's possible that it was probably important to Bill, at least, to have this, because I'm not sure of the timeline of this. I'm guessing that this video came out before they started touring.
I think it must have done.
Yeah.
But again, it's very difficult to tell.
Yeah, because if they did, then I'm guessing Bill wanted to, you know, prepare yourselves. Look at my grandiose drum kit that will be coming out on stage with me. You know, I always get that vision that he used it as a means to sort of promote that end of it. Like, you know, I'm coming out with all guns blazing sort of thing. And you got to like the piano that Rick had, sort of like a fiberglass see-through piano, you know?
Wonderful thing.
I mean, it looks fantastic. I wonder how it sounds, though. I can't imagine fiberglass being as good as wood, but for tones, but you never know. I mean, Rick Wakeman has been known to use some very odd musical equipment, as we know through our numerous episodes we've done about keyboards.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And yes, I mean, they're all taking it very seriously, as they should be. And there's just the four of them, obviously, not with the side men that they used live. It's just the four of them, ABW and H. And then it finishes off with another little bit of animation. And this is nice, this animation at the end as well, because it's that. And again, I wasn't absolutely sure where this came from. I think it's the back cover of the album, isn't it? So you've got hints of a snake, which is quite similar to the Relayer snake.
Yes.
And you've got some more amazing Roger Dean background in there. And it's all sort of red. And the red reminded me of the multiple copies that I've got of this single, Brother of Mine. And for some reason, I went a bit mad at one point and started buying all sorts of different ones. So I'll go in. I'll put some photos of this, obviously, in the show notes as well. But I've got the following singles.
Okay.
And again, within this single itself, there is the same image that we're just talking about with the sort of fragments of a snake and lovely landscape in the background. So the first one that I've got is a 3-inch CD, one of those little ones.
Oh, okay.
Which is very nice. And that's got Brother of Mine and Themes. Vultures in the City. Vultures in the City, which is the one that doesn't appear on the album at all. So that's got quite a bit of music on it, even though it's three inch.
Yeah.
And then I've got, next up in size, is a standard CD single. And that's got the same track listing. So that's very good. And I have the 7-inch single, which on the back has got a fantastic photograph of the video. So this is a photograph taken at that same session where they recorded the miming for the video. And you can see Rick Wakeman's amazing piano in all its glory there, lit up a bit. And I have a slight feeling looking at it there that it might be a total fake, that in fact it's just an electronic keyboard in this amazing case. But once again, somebody else will know. So that's very nice. But that, because it's a 7-inch single, really annoys me, because my eyes are not very good nowadays. And they've decided to print this dark red on black. So it's incredibly difficult to read. And yeah, so side one has got Brother of Mine, side two, Themes. So interestingly, that doesn't include the Vultures in the City one. Then I have a 10-inch. I'm not sure how many of these were made. So I have a 10-inch single, Brother of Mine, on side one, and Vultures in the City on side two. So there's a quite variation between this. And then I have the Brother of Mine 12-inch single, Brother of Mine, Themes, and Vultures in the City. All right. So the main reason, actually, that I'm going on about having all those different ones is because that was very much the thing, wasn't it, in the 80s? You could sell a shed load of singles if you managed to produce them in as many variations as that. You must know, Mark, of different bands who have gone really mad on different versions of a single.
Oh, well, it's ironic that you say that, because just a few days ago, musician extraordinaire and former Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley has released a new album called 10,000 Volts.
Okay.
And if you were to go to his label's page, which I believe is MDMH, I think it's an independent label, they have no fewer than 14 different color variations of this album available. I mean, every possible color, every possible splatter effect is there. Surprisingly enough, every single one of them is sold out, okay, except for one that they decided to reprint again because it was so popular. So let it not be said that colored variations are not popular in the vinyl community or vinyl circles, because it is quite the item. And it's, you know, they're going easily for $30 a pop, these albums. Wow. So the single, he also did a couple singles as well. I believe those were also colored as well, with different album cut. And that's the thing, too. Not only did he do the colors differently, but he had alternate album covers as well.
Right, yeah.
So they're really trying to milk it for all it's worth to do this. So, I mean, you having 5 different variations or different versions of this song, you know, in retrospect, it doesn't look that crazy. In fact, I think I'd almost prefer your one, because at least there's some real differences, a 3-inch, yeah, a 7-inch, a 10-inch, you know what I mean? It's not like a 12-inch with, you know, different colors and a few different album covers.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and this all started in the 80s when they realized, and Trevor Horn, I think, was one of the key movers and shakers in this. They realized that if they came up with extended 12-inch remixes and all sorts of different things, they could sell more copies of the single, essentially. So yes, Yes themselves back in 90125 days, which wasn't that long before this, of course, and so many different remixes and versions of those singles from 90125, and ABWH were simply continuing that tradition, I suppose. But if you think about that video then, just before we go on to the latest one, you've got animation, you've got really extensive outside filming, and you've got the studio filming. That must have cost them an absolute bomb, didn't it?
Yeah, because you got to look at it this way. For every change of scenery, whether it's, you know, they go out for the location shots outside and then back into the studio, you have to take a whole crew, cameramen, everything, and you're moving that from place to place. You have to set everything up. And what's that famous saying, Kevin? Time is money, right? So if it takes you, like, you know, 6 hours to move everything to one spot, then there's 6 hours that you have to pay for on top of everything else for their time, because it doesn't matter if it's just transportation. That has to be paid for, right? So it is a pretty penny. And I'd love to know, and I'm talking to you, Yes community, if anybody happens to know the cost of this, because I have a feeling that, like, within the Kiss community, that within the Yes community collectors, that you guys also collect what's called paper goods, which is you know, documentation from management and stuff like that. There has to be a sheet somewhere amongst you collectors that show a breakdown of the costs of this video somewhere. So if anybody out there has it, I'd love to know how much it costs to make this video. Because when you think about it, in 91, 92, when Guns N' Roses came out with their videos for songs like Estranged and Don't You Cry from their Use Your Illusion albums, they were easily, at that time, the most expensive music videos at $4 million each, right? Because they were using, like, you know, helicopter shots on top of huge buildings in New York City or downtown LA. So when you have those kind of things and special effects and stuff like that, it gets into huge money.
Yes, yes. And the 80s was the decade of excess, wasn't it, and all sorts of things, including music and the way they put on tours and obviously promoted records like this one. So fast forward to 2024, and we now have a very, very different style of video completely. So, first of all, 13 minutes 53 on the record, 7 minutes and 4 seconds, a single edit. Now, we've spoken, we won't rehash the singles. We've done many episodes about Yes's singles. What did you think of this edit? 7 minutes and 4 from the 13 minutes 53 on the album.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say it's shocking. I've heard some real shocking edits of songs before. But this one is, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's not look, when you're so used to a certain version of a song, any sort of edit kind of makes you go, what happened there? You know, whenever they do that little edit there. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, you got to understand that, you know, unless you're some gigantic band or, well, not going to say gigantic, but unless it's for something specifically made, a video shouldn't be that long. I don't think that most record companies think that a single should be 13 minutes long, you know?
No.
So you have to kind of take a little bit of creative control and, you know, make it somehow easier to deal with when making videos, right? So I guess they figured that the 6-minute version would be easier to make a storyline and a concept for it than a 13-minute one.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I the only part of it that I don't like the way they've edited it is the end. And the end on the album is really, you know, it's got massive strings and orchestra, in fact. It's got a massive orchestral ending, and it's an amazing ending. Where I think it peters out a little bit on this version, which is a shame, I think. But anyway, let's talk about the video itself. So this is obviously CGI or AI tools have been used to create this video. But to be honest, I don't really know the difference these days between sort of CG, computer-generated imagery, or AI or whatever. And at least what they didn't do, I say at least, I do like this video. Let's make sure that I've made that clear. At least what they didn't do, though, was use the ones which were created, and I don't know if you've seen these, Mark, but for Peter Gabriel's number one selling album, I.O., which he's come out with recently, he had the idea of asking fans to create videos for his singles that he released in advance of the record. And so they used these AI tools. And the first ones I saw, I thought, wow, this is amazing. So it's a fully animated and using lots of different imagery and strange effects, and it all sort of spirals in and out and amazing stuff. But then I saw the next one, and it was obviously made with the same sort of tool. And it was, you know, similar, not similar, because all the images were different, but the sort of feel of it was very much the same. And it just got old very quickly, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know.
However, I think this is actually done quite well. But first of all, have you seen those Peter Gabriel videos I'm talking about?
Yes, I have seen them. I'm on Peter Gabriel's, you know, big fan site page. And he was sending me the emails every time a single came out and stuff like that. So yeah, I was aware of those ones. And you hit a very important point, though, here, Kevin, about how the videos were well done. There was different imagery with each one, but that whole it got dry rather quickly bit is true, because here's the problem with AI. AI is going to do this. It's when you give it the information, you know, they say, I want a video that has this, 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 and this in it. It's just going to go ahead and do it, and that's it. The human brain that, you know, comes up with the creative part of it, like, you know, let's do a shot like this or a shot like that. AI isn't that good yet to sort of do anticipate what the human brain would think about as far as creativity. It just takes the things that you put into it and comes up with its version of it and how it should be laid out, and you get a pretty good video out of it. I mean, I'm not saying the AI stuff is bad, but I still think it's miles away from having the feel of a really well-done human-made video.
Yeah, yeah. I think I agree with you there. And in years to come, perhaps, it'll be different. And I just want to stress again that I'm not talking about Yes's video, I'm talking about Peter Gabriel's videos that you can go and see on, as you said, Peter Gabriel's site and so on. So this video, Mirror to the Sky edit, some things I really like about it. So it's got lots of mirrors in it, as you might expect, and lots of star fields and asteroids and that sort of imagery, which I think works really well. Lots of clocks, which I think works really well as well. And so there's quite a bit of surreal imagery going on, and it did remind me of that little bit right at the end of the Astral Traveller video, where you see a man who turns around to the camera, and instead of his face, you can see that he's got an apple in front of his face. And this is taken from the surrealist painter René Magritte. And I've always liked that video. So it's really, if you have a look at the images that I've put into the show notes, it's really quite similar what they've done with this video, in that you get a man again, but instead this time of his head, he has a mirror And it appears to be a cracked mirror as well, cracked into sort of seven pieces or something. One, two, three, four, five pieces, something like that. But anyway, quite reminiscent of that. And that's certainly something I think you can say about this video. There are lots of very powerful and impressive images, and it all works very well. And I suppose in a way I was thinking about it this week, that it's a bit like a parallel to getting the new Yes album, and with the Roger Dean artwork on the front, with your 12-inch by 12-inch vinyl cover, and, you know, looking at that, opening the gatefold and enjoying all that as you listen to the music. And perhaps this is a little bit like that. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely along those lines, I think. It's something that, you know, while you listen to the music, you kind of, you know, look at the imagery and kind of find yourself sinking deep into the imagery while you listen to the music. And I think that's, in essence, what a good video should do, is kind of take you away into this magical world while you are listening to the music. Now, one of the things that I find very interesting, and I'm guessing that we're going to talk about this, or maybe it would be a topic you're going to talk about, is how fantastic the quality of the imagery this stuff is.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think is interesting about it is that there came a time and point in the industry where bands just simply refused to make videos anymore. There was like a time where people said, no, I'm not doing it anymore, because number one, it's costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars to make these videos, number one. And number two, not only is it costing as much, but you are tacking it on our, you know, IOU payment instead of the record label, you know, covering some of the costs. It was always something that the band had to recoup in full.
Right.
You know, and that's where bands are saying, no, it's just not worth it. The amount of extra albums that we sell is not worth the $500,000 that we get tacked on to our owings. So bands started outright saying, no, we're not doing videos anymore.
No,
right?
No.
And that's why for a long time, there was not many videos coming out, unless they were like bands that were like, you know, Elton John, U2 or something like that, who could afford to do it or had the power to say, okay, we do a video, you pay half, we pay half, you know? So, and then that started the whole revolution later with making videos like this, where people started making independent videos of them, you know, themselves, or fans started making videos because they just didn't have videos to some of their favorite songs on albums that came out.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, but yes, I agree with you. These images are beautiful and, you know, high definition. And that's the nice thing, isn't it, that nowadays, as you say, you can make relatively inexpensive videos with very, very high quality, just from a home computer sometimes. And that's absolutely brilliant. One other thing that I spotted, which is a little bit of a link between Roger Dean and the ABWH and this latest video, was that there was a flock of birds at one stage, and it's in silhouette, and they're white silhouettes, as opposed to the ABWH, where you do get that bird, vulture, as we were saying, vulture or whatever it is, eagle, in black silhouette. So there is a little bit of a link there, perhaps. And all these mirrors, lots and lots of mirrors. But I was going to ask you about the whole concept, and we've spoken about this before, the whole concept of lyric videos. And I think it's one of those things that back in the 80s, you had to have a lavish production. And as you were saying, the cost of these things was astronomical. Today, for today's internet and social media age, you have to have a lyric video. And to be honest, I can take or leave the whole lyric part of this. I'm just as happy to watch it without the lyrics popping up, because I can hear the lyrics and I can see the images. What do you think of it?
I'm kind of for the lyric video for a few reasons. I was very guilty through my younger teenage years of not getting the lyrics right on songs. Like listening to it and saying, that's what he said. I always thought it was this. Right. So I think that having a lyric video is extremely helpful for people like me who probably say, that's what he's saying now. So I think it's helpful. I do agree, though, that I don't like these ones where, you know, the lyrics are like in huge text, like taking the screen up. You don't need that. There are videos where I've seen where they've done it really tastefully, where they have maybe something in the right corner or the bottom left corner or something, or they alternate where the lyrics go sometimes. So, you know, and that keeps you interested in the videos. You're kind of looking around for that as well while it's happening. And, you know, I think the concept of the video was really well done. I think they did it nicely. And, you know, for all you people out there, independent musicians who are interested about doing this kind of thing, I'll give you some information that I found astounding, is that a lot of videos right now from independent artists are done on iPhones. Like, they have the cameras are so good on these phones now that a lot of them have footage done off their phones. They just do a bunch of footage here and there. They get, you know, they might get like, what's that called? A gimbal, where they connect it to the phone. So it's a little more steadier, you know, or they get what's called, what are those little helicopter thingies, remote control ones? The drones. Yeah. A lot of people have these drone things now where they have the connections for their phones. So they can get these fantastic aerial shots. And this is costing like between $100 to, let's say, $500. Okay.
Right.
To, you know, you get a good phone, you get a, you know, a drone. And it costs you like 1/100th of what it costs to do a you know, multi-$100,000 video. And I'll say this, it's compared to some of the quality of the videos in the 80s, the resolution on these videos are fantastic, much better than some of the old videos that are out there.
Yeah.
And all you need is a good editing software, like, you know, iMovie or something like that, put it all together, and you have a video. So, you know, that's why I think there's a lot more videos now out there, especially lyric ones and stuff like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Yes, and whoever was involved in this, did something similar, where they got imagery, because you can also get a lot of, you know, free imagery or free video footage off there. You can get, like, you know, royalty-free that you can use. And even still, like I said, with their phone and with some computer help, you can do a bunch of great things with imagery on there, and you can make great videos.
Yeah. It certainly is amazing now what you can do. And my last point on this video is, I think it looks epic, which I think is absolutely perfect for this song, which is epic sounding. I think so. I think it sounds and I think it looks epic. What I would like to see in the future, though, and I'm thinking about the recent Yes concerts that I've been to. Now, I know that the most recent ones had no video wall at all. But the ones I've seen recently, going back a couple of years, the video aspects of Yes concerts now are so good. And when they play a particular song, they have the imagery of that song floating around, and you can see Roger Dean's artwork and photographs of the band and that kind of thing. So what I'd like to see in the future with this kind of video is some references, some visual references to the legacy, to the history of the band. Now, I don't want it to appear like a, you know, a retrospective of the band, because the point is that the band are making new music and we should appreciate that for what it is. But I would like to see some visual references in there, which I think would be even better than this. So what's your final view of this new video?
I do like it. I think that the use of the mirrors and the imagery that they had on there works well with the saw mirror to the sky. You know, the mirrors can reflect a lot of things back to you, some good, some bad. So that's kind of a good theme to have. And I think it was well done. You know, of course, you know, and especially for somebody who's not a big Yes fan or has not followed Yes all these years, if they see the video, they might really enjoy it and it might bring them to check out Yes now and the album. So that's a good thing as well. But yeah, maybe some tip of the hat to the past might be good, to have some imagery or even, like, you know, little shots of some of the album covers somehow to play in might work. But I'm also a bit, the only thing I don't like that I wish bands would do more often is, even though, you know, these are done on a much smaller budget, it still doesn't mean, though, that you can't have shots of the band members in there.
Yes, I mean,
it's
just
as simple.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just as simple to take a good shot on a phone, like I was talking about earlier, with band members playing, whether it's just Steve Howe on a guitar or John Davison just singing in front of a microphone or in a, you know, some scenery or something. And plus, you have green screen, so you can put them anywhere and have some background for them too. So I think that bands should not be afraid to put themselves into these videos a little bit more.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, for us fans, even shots that they did use in the sleeve notes for Mirror of the Sky from studios, you know, I'd like to see that integrated, even, you know, from recording the album.
Yes,
even that kind of thing might be quite fun to see.
I'd love that
as well. Yeah, that would be good. Okay, well, that's what we think about these two videos. Have your say, please, in the show notes for this week. And it was not a shock. It was a nice surprise to see this coming out, this single edit of this song. I thought we'd got to the end of the videos that we would have from Mirror to the Sky. Presumably this is to help promote the tour, which is going to be coming up very soon in the UK and then moving on to Europe. So I'm looking forward to seeing the band.
And one other thing, possibly too, I'm curious if they're going to include this in the new reissue of Mirror to the Sky that's coming out, the 2-CD version that they've announced.
Oh, yes.
That has a 2-CD plus DVD Blu-ray, because they're now having a version coming out with the Atmos. I think you mentioned this, I think, before, yes, that there's a Dolby Atmos mix of this coming out now. So maybe include the video. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be great. I know Jeff Downes with his Downes Braid Association did put the videos as an extra disc in the latest package that they did. So, yeah, I think that's a great thing to do. Hopefully they will do that. We will see. All right, for the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
The 11th Illusion of Yes Music Podcast.
Just before we go, here are the YMP producers and half the patrons. Yes Music Podcast producers are Joseph Cottrell, Ken Fuller, and Jeffrey Cresselius. And half of the Yes Music Podcast patrons are Mark Baggs, John Cowan, John Parry, Dave Owen, Simon Barrow, Steve Scott, Terence Sadler, Steve Dill, Robert Naser, Fergus Cubbage, William Hayes, Jeff Bailey, Stephen Raw, Lobate Scarp, Jeffrey Mason, David Watkinson, Tim Stannard, Robert Van Der Veer, Brian Sullivan, David Pannell, Jamie McQuinn, Miguel Falcao, Paul Torme, Michael O'Connor, Brian Harris, H.P. Peterson, and Guy DeRome. Thank you very much indeed to all those patrons and producers. If you'd like to join in helping the podcast financially, then please do go over to Patreon, patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast, or click on the link on yesmusicpodcast.com. So that's just about all the time we have this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. We do hope to be back next week. And in the meantime, please do keep listening and getting involved via x.com, Facebook, or Instagram. So until next time, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.